Good morning. Beautiful day today. We're baptizing today. We had three people be baptized first service and three here. And so you guys realize in the last 5 years, that is 250 people that have been baptized. Praise God. But a lot more work to do. If you were here last week, Memorial Day Sunday, we had our texting service where everyone could text in questions. We talked about God, faith, the Bible, current events, all those things. And so that was really neat. And of course, we just finished our series about two ways to live, the wide road and the narrow road. And so that was very challenging. Well, over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to be in a series that's a little more encouraging. Now, I will tell you, today is not quite as encouraging, but we want to start with the story of John the Baptist, and I want to make some points from that. But this series is going to be called In the Meantime. And in the meantime, you know, God has really put on my heart. I know first service, I said, whether this is for one of you or 100 of you, and same for you here today, we need to answer the question about when you're in the meantime in life. What do you do when there's nothing you can do? This series is good because some of you here today, you're living a challenge. And over the next few weeks, we're going to answer the question, what about when life circumstances have just closed in around you? Some of you this morning, it's just tough. And I can attest to that. I have in my life been what I call in the meantime so many times. When I first rededicated my life to Jesus and accepted my call into the ministry, I was gone. Josie was a brand new baby. She had lost her job, and there were other circumstances that were going on. And I'm just like, wow, you know, Lord, I've given my life back to you, and things aren't any better at all. But guys, when you give your life to Christ, when you are following Him with your life, sometimes there are seasons in this life where it's not just abracadabra and all is well. Now, God can do that. He is a God of miracles. He is a God of healing. He is a God of redemption and restoration. And God promises He will do that. But sometimes it just takes time. And we have to be and remain faithful. But oftentimes what there is in the meantime. And so that's what we're going to talk about for these next few weeks. What do you do when it's just in the meantime? When life is tough? When in this world you're just having troubles? And sometimes it's troubles we make of our own. That's most of where I've been in my life. But sometimes it seems like that they just happen. Some of you right now are just like, what in the world do I do in light of my circumstances? I have problems that can't be solved, and maybe you're lonely, or maybe you have tensions in your life that won't go away. Some of you are depressed. Some of you have marriages that have or are crumbling. Some of you are addicted. Some of you here this morning feel like you have no hope. You don't know Jesus, and you're like, I don't get these Christians. What's with all the happiness and joy, and how can I get that, and how can I have that? Some of you, maybe it's your children. Maybe that they're wayward, or maybe they've married and or dating or living a lifestyle that you just don't understand, and you're frustrated with. For some of you, maybe it's your finances. Sometimes maybe you lose a job or your business closes or your finances just aren't what you want them to be, and it's something that's out of your control. But for some of you, maybe you've lived beyond your means, and so you're just shackled with tons of debt and you see no light at the end of the tunnel. Some of you here today, maybe it's an illness. You've gotten a diagnosis, or you're waiting for a test result, or whatever it is, and you can't see. I want to encourage you. It's human nature to kind of feel hopeless. But we know that Jesus is the hope and that God has a plan. But in the meantime, there's a way that you need to live, and I want to talk about that. Some of you this morning are just going through those things, and your reality is you don't really want to hear a sermon. You don't want to think about how things are. And it's just when you're in those situations, and let me encourage you, I have lived in those situations many, many times, mostly, of course, of my own doing. You don't think there's any hope or there's any help. So I want to warn you this morning as well that these times are, if you're in the meantime going through some things, it is so crucial to trust in the Lord with all your heart and not lean on your own understanding, to trust that God has a plan and a purpose. But I want to warn you as well that in the meantime, these tough times you're going through, maybe you're depressed, or maybe someone has hurt you, or maybe you're just going through some things in life, this is also a dangerous time, because in the meantime is very fertile soil for bad decisions and for bitterness, and to be angry at God and question God, and for your faith to waver. Have you guys ever felt like, you know what people will tell me sometimes as a pastor? They'll say, I feel like I'm living someone else's life. Can I testify to you guys how many times I've looked up in just my short 40 years? Would have been 39 last week, but it's 40 now. So how many times I've looked up and just thought, this can't be my life. This just can't be my life. What was I thinking? What have I done? Discouragement beyond belief. And I know there are some of you here today that that's how you feel. But I want you to be encouraged that this meantime will someday end. But what do you do in the meantime? And how you feel, let me tell you, it's normal. But I want to warn you about a few things as well. And we'll get to our text in a moment. But in the meantime is dangerous because sometimes you'll do the comparison game. Let me tell you, whether you're living in this meantime, tough circumstances, or even if life is good for you right now, comparing is dangerous. Because these days what we can do, and again, listen, I'm not that person. Social media, Facebook is neither inherently good nor bad. It's what you make of it. But nowadays you can flip on Facebook, and what do you see on Facebook? If you're going through a tough time right now, you get on there and what do you see? You see everybody else's highlight reel, right? And you're like, oh, look at their life. Boy, they must have it so easy. That just their life looks so good, and here I am, and I'm going through all this stuff. And so you can get resentful and angry because you're not living the life you want to live, and life isn't what you thought it would be at this point. You need to understand you're not alone. That does happen, and really it's normal. But then if you're not careful, the lies will come in. The lies from the enemy about, I'll never be happy again. I'll never be happy again. So you long for the past. And this happens in relationships and marriages. I was so happy with so-and-so. And resentment can build. We have a marriage seminar next month that we're doing here. And praise the Lord, it's already not only full, we're taking more couples now. And one of the things we're going to talk about is in marriages how resentment comes in. Because I'm not happy, and it must be the other person's fault. They're easy to blame. And this can happen when you're living in the meantime because you blame that person. You can long for the past. And sometimes you're going through things in life, and we've all been there. You just really want to be 12 again. When all you did was play and mom and dad paid the bills, right? Wasn't life so simple when you were younger? But you know what? Be careful with that. God is a God of today and the future. God is not a God who wants you dwelling on your past. And so if you're a believer and you're going through some of these incredibly tough life circumstances and situations, then you have your fellow Christians, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they mean well, but sometimes they don't make things any better. You ever been going through something horrible and here comes your brother and sister in Christ and she comes up and, hey, I want to tell you a story about God answering my prayers in such a cool way, and you're thinking, great, this is going to help. I need to hear this. I need encouragement. And they go into a story about, yeah, the other day I was home and I lost my car keys. And I was praying and my husband came home and he rattled the door and my car keys were in the door and he had come home early from work to bring me flowers and take me out to dinner, and you look at them and you just want to slug them, right? Because you're just like, you don't know what problems are. So they mean well, but when you're going through stuff, it's human nature to just see our own problems and circumstances and situations. Another lie from the enemy is that nothing good can come from this. Maybe you're at a season in life where your health is not good. Or maybe you're just in a season of life where you're older and you're like, I'm never going to be young again and never going to feel this way again. But, you know, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Doesn't God say these bodies are temporary homes anyway? Aren't we promised eternity and a perfect body in paradise and eye has not seen nor ear heard? Nothing good can come from this. That's a lie from the enemy. God can make good from anything when we turn to Him and follow Him and let Him. And so you're just, sometimes in life, you just want to throw your hands up. And as a pastor, I hear a lot of this. People come and they sit with me. And you guys know what I want to do, and I've had to learn through the years, is I, first of all, what do I want to do because I'm a man? I want to fix it. If you've ever come into me and you've started pouring your heart out and I started saying, here's what you should do, I'm really sorry, honestly. Because through the years, God has blessed me a little bit to realize I need to listen a little more and be more patient and have prayer with you and not try to solve everything. So today, guys, does God care about you? If you're going through something this morning, three things I want to promise you. God is not absent, God is not apathetic, and God is not angry with you, okay? God does love you, God does care. He's not, never mistake God's silence for His absence. You know, sometimes we have to go through seasons in life, and sometimes I can look and say, man, God has done miraculous things. He's answered prayers. He's moved in great ways. And there's other times it's just like, God, what's going on? Where are you? Where's the answer to this problem, this solution? But never confuse His silence for absence. Think about Peter, who knew what it was like to not only to fail, but to go through hard times. He wrote in 1 Peter 5:7, he said, cast your cares upon God because He cares for you. Guys, He cares for you. And if you're in a tough situation in the meantime right now, I want you to be encouraged. But now, before we go to our scripture, and if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and get to the book of Matthew. We have a couple verses we're going to go over briefly this morning. But before we do, I want to flesh out some hypocrisy about some of the struggles we go through in life. And how, you know, can I stand up here and preach about, hey, God's good, He's going to get you through this. Because really, if I look back at my life, and really if we're honest, anything that we go through in this world is attributable to what three-letter word? Sin. Now, most of the time, it's our own sin. And here's where people get into trouble. They're not honest. If you trace it back to our own choices, decisions, it's much easier to blame someone else. And really, the Bible says in Proverbs that we mess up our own lives than blame God. But life does happen. So whether you feel like it's your doing or not, whatever you're going through right now, I want to talk about this because we're going to talk about God's presence this morning. We're going to talk about God's presence. And, you know, some of you maybe today, I have been there in my life, and you go through seasons where I use the expression, you've got sin on ice in the trunk. You just want to live how you want to live. You don't want God's presence. You're not concerned with your relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've started that inappropriate relationship, or maybe you've got unforgiveness or bitterness, or maybe you're just cruising through life and God's not a priority. What we do is generally until we need Him or something happens, we just want to live our life. But you guys know what the best thing about these struggles are and what the best thing about the meantime is? It's that God has your attention. It's that God gets your attention when you're going through these things. What does it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Nothing. I mean, nothing at all. What if you're not rich towards God? It doesn't matter how great you think life is. God loves you and He uses things and struggles that we go through to get our attention, and it's worth it. And this is coming from a guy who has been there and done that. But on the hindsight of a lot of that, I can look back and say, you know, that was my own doing. I don't understand that. It doesn't matter. God used those times to make me rely on Him. And that is always, always worth it. Because the meantime can be fertile soil. The meantime can be fertile soil for your life. In spite of your sin and rebellion, God loves you. What's the Bible say? For God so loved the Christians. Oh, no, wait. For God so loved the holy. No, hold on. For God so loved the righteous and the good. No. For God so loved those of us that spend enough time in the Word. No. Doesn't say that. It says, for God so loved the world. God so loved everybody. For God so loved the sinful, that while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. For God so loved the depressed. For God so loved the angry. For God so loved the out of work. For God so loved the people in bad marriages. For God so loved you and me. He simply loves us. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do you want to know what God hates? God hates sin. You want to know the only time in the history of the world God has ever forsaken anyone? Is when when Jesus was forsaken on the cross. When God poured out His wrath, the wrath of sin and judgment and death and our rebellion and our bad choices and our apathy towards Him and our hypocrisy was all put on Jesus. When He cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was for you. Can somebody amen that? That was for you. How amazing. How much God must love you, and no matter what you're going through, He doesn't not love you, He doesn't not care, and He's not absent. He's working, He's letting our lives be molded and shaped. And we sometimes don't understand that. The Bible says we don't have to understand. His ways and thoughts are higher than ours. Stop thinking you need to understand everything that goes on because you don't. If you have your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. In the meantime, is God absent? Is He apathetic? Is He angry? The New Testament speaks to this. And this is really one of the tougher stories. In Matthew chapter 11, we're going to talk about the first six verses. It alludes to John the Baptist, probably the first Christian, right? Probably one of the most famous people in the Bible. No, he was actually called John the Baptizer. That was actually his name. It wasn't John the Baptist. And we know he couldn't have been Baptist because they drank wine back then. So, that's horrible. You know, I'm 40 now, and when you get old, you just say what you think. So, Somebody may have to forgive me for that, but it's just all in good fun. So John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, was the first Christian. And remember, he's the one who recognized Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's read Matthew 11, 1 through 6. Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And some translations say, "Blessed is he who does not fall away from my words." John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, was in the meantime at that moment. Now, this is the same John who baptized Jesus, and when he did, the Holy Spirit came down. God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And here's John in the middle going through something in the meantime, and he's having really doubts. He's really struggling with what's going on in his life. So if you're here this morning and you're in the middle of going through things, it's okay to struggle. It's okay that you're struggling with that. John the Baptist, When this happened right here, he was in prison. And he didn't rob a 7-Eleven or cheat on his taxes or get caught with a meth lab. He was just in prison for what? For preaching and speaking truth. He was specifically in prison for, there was a king named Herod. You guys remember, you know that name? King Herod was kind of a bad guy, and he had two sons, right? And one of those sons wanted to marry his niece. Yeah, that's right. So you have King Herod, he had two sons, and one of them wanted to marry their own niece. And even back then, that was only legal in Kentucky. So it was a bad thing, and John spoke against it. John's like, "Hey, this is not right." So the King Herod's sons, the one son had kind of went away and one was still there. He didn't really get mad. You know who got mad was Herodias, the niece. I think that was her name. And you know about a woman scorned, you know, seriously? So she's the one that said, "I want John put in prison and I want his head." He called her out for her sin, and she ended up wanting and having him killed. You guys know that's human nature. When we're given accountability and love, I see people through the years explode about that. We want to talk about everybody else's sin, but when something's brought to our attention that we might need to work on, we don't like that, do we? But that's not a biblical or a heart that loves God. So anyway, John spoke against it. He was in prison for about a year. And I want you to think about this. I want you to think about, here's John who, if you're going through something this morning, man, it's just, I just feel so bad, and I, you know, maybe I put myself here or haven't, but it's tough, and I don't feel like where's God, and why is this not just, why am I not being healed? Why is there not an answer to prayer? I want you to think about where John was. In Matthew 4:12, listen to this. It says, "When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee." So here's John, who's in prison, who Jesus said, there's never been anyone born of woman that was greater than John the Baptist. And Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is in prison. And Matthew 4:12 says, basically, let me give you, without going into all of it, John the Baptist was in prison here. And when Jesus heard that John the Baptist was in prison, Jesus was, this is my map, that's right. Jesus was here. You know where Jesus went when he heard John was in prison? He went that way. He didn't. The Bible doesn't say Jesus went to set John the Baptist free. It doesn't say he went to miraculously free him from prison. He didn't go to get a bail bondsman. Jesus went the other way. John the Baptist was in prison. Jesus hears about it, and he goes farther away. So do you think John was probably maybe having a pity party? So John, it says he sends people to go and say, you know, "Is Jesus, are you the one?" This was the same John who heard God speak. You guys ever felt that way? Like, "Lord, really? Why me? Why this? I've loved you. I'm faithful to you. Why do I have to go through this?" You don't have to know the answer to know that he loves you and that he has good and he has plans for you. So John the Baptist, of course, he begins to doubt. He's in that moment where he's in prison and Jesus isn't coming, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, I don't understand this." And guys, do you know for you that the enemy of your soul and life, he will try to steal your joy in life. He will try to make you feel guilt over your struggles, or maybe play the shame game, I call it. Now, shame is good when it's a result of our sin, because there's good shame. But the shame game of why am I not feeling God's presence now? Why am I going through this physical ailment? Why is this happening? And guys, when that happens, that's a time to go to God's Word. That's a time to pray. That's a time to fast. Listen to this. That's a time to worship. That's a time to get the focus off of yourself when you're in the meantime. Serve others. God is good. He loves you. But our human nature is to have a pity party. And you maybe heard me say this through the years. If you're having a pity party, don't invite me. I don't want to come. It's our human nature to have this pity party. So now, think about John the Baptist. He's going through all this. And when he sends this envoy to Jesus, how does Jesus respond? Jesus responds with, "Go tell John that the lame are walking, the lepers are being cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised, and the poor are having the gospel preached to them." There's the comparison game right there. Think about John. Not only is Jesus not coming to get me, when I sent someone to Jesus, they came back and Jesus said, "Go tell John everything I'm doing for other people." You ever felt that way? You ever felt that way with all, you know, it's hard to have joy for someone else because of where you're at in life? God understands that. He understands your humanity. But what does 11:6 say? Jesus says, "Blessed are those who don't fall away from me, who don't fall away from my words, who don't fall away from my teachings." Guys, God is not absent. He is not apathetic. And He doesn't not care. He loves you. He has a purpose and plan no matter what you are going through here today. The Bible says this too shall pass. There will be an other side of what you're going through. I promise. If you're living in the meantime, it's a time to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's a time to try and have joy that God's going to get good from bad, that God gives beauty for ashes. Dan? So where are you today? I want to encourage you that no matter what you're going through, God does love you. He hasn't forgotten about you. Maybe it's a time to turn your heart and life to Him or back to Him, or to just trust and have faith. The bottom line is that God is not absent, apathetic, or angry. He does love you. But you've got to be honest with yourself about where your heart is. Because in John 16:33, Jesus says, "I have come that you can have peace." He goes, "In this world you will have troubles, but I've overcome the world." But what happens is, so often as believers, we have one foot in the world, and then this other foot that's like, "Well, yeah, but I'm a Christian, and Jesus is a big part of my life." He's not part of my life. He's my life. The Bible says that we no longer live, but He lives through us. So just coming to church, or, you know, church is a part of my life, and I'm a Christian, you know, that's, yeah, definitely. Guys, is your heart, are you fully surrendered to Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, or are you doing religion? Doesn't matter what you're going through, He loves you, and He has a wonderful, wonderful plan. 1 John 3:20 says, if you're going through some tough stuff this morning, it says, even if our hearts condemn us, even if we feel guilty for where we're at, what we've done, what's happened, it says, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, in Jesus' name, I want to pray this morning, Lord, that You would encourage, Lord, all those that are here today, that You love them. You have a plan and a purpose, and Lord, tomorrow is coming. This too shall pass. Better things are coming. The hurt will go away, Lord. You have a plan and a purpose despite what is going on in this messed up world and in our messed up hearts sometimes. That, Lord, You are real, and that You love us, and that, Lord God, You have good for us. And Lord, You, Heavenly Father, will never leave us or forsake us, because You did, Jesus, Your own Son on the cross, when You turned Your face away, that He would take our punishment and our shame and our guilt and our rebellion all upon Him. And so, Lord, because He did that, may we live lives that love You and that honor You and that serve You and that follow You. And if there are those that, and not if there are, those that are here this morning, they're living in the meantime, I pray that, Lord, that they would be encouraged. You love them. You have a plan. You're working things together for good. And at the end of the day, this world is not our home. These bodies are tents, temporary homes. They're going bye-bye one of these days. And Lord, when You, Heavenly Father, come back, we will live with no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more aches and pains, no more separation, no more death. And God, I pray if there are any here this morning in danger of missing out on that because they've not put their faith in you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work on their hearts, that they would say yes to your gift of love and grace. And Lord, as we prepare to baptize this morning, thank you for those that Heavenly Father were baptized into eternal life, into you at our first service this morning, and now those that will be here. And God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Bible says that he who repents and is baptized shall be saved. And Romans 6:4 talks about being baptized into Jesus Christ and into newness of life. That not only one day will we be resurrected with him and have a new body and have eternal life and dwell in his presence and with one another, but right now that we would walk in the newness of life. And so to you who are being baptized today, as I always will say, baptism is a beginning, not an end. It's not something to check off so that you'll go to heaven. It's a beginning of your outward profession of faith that you're going to walk in newness of life with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it's a beginning, not an end, and a wonderful thing that we can celebrate together as church family. Well, Riley, young man, I'm going to start with you and very proud. The Bible says, how can a young man keep his ways pure, that he would learn God's word and walk in his ways? And Riley, you are young, and I want to encourage you that you will continue to, as you've given your heart to Jesus, to seek him with your life. And I know you'll make mistakes, but God loves you, and there is grace, and what we want you to follow him with your life. Riley has made the comment that he, since been coming to church and since putting his faith in Jesus, what happiness and peace and joy that he feels. And let me assure you that as you go throughout your life, there's one way to keep that, and that's to stay right with Jesus, all right? Riley, young man, I am so proud of you, and I baptize you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Good job, buddy. Susan, we are so proud of you, and I'm so thankful that your family's able to be here today, and as you've put your faith in Christ and now feeling led to be baptized, we're also praying for you as you know you're going through a thing or two in life, but we are, and I am so thankful for you to take this step of faith and so excited to see what God has in store for you as you've put your faith and obedience in being baptized. Susan, it is my privilege today to be able to baptize you for all of eternity in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, last but not least, Gina, we, as your church family, have really enjoyed getting to know you and your husband and your kids, and as you guys have been so faithful to come, and as you've been discipled and have put your faith in Jesus, God has put it on your heart. It's time to be baptized, and so proud of you, and so thankful, and so wonderful to see those little ones running around the church, and just excited to see what God has in store and his plans for your life, for your family, and I'm so thankful to be able to baptize you today in Jesus' name. I baptize you today in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right, would you guys stand with me and let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. And God, I pray that as we go from here, Lord, we would live in love. We would live with a perspective of your grace and goodness in our life. That Heavenly Father, the fruit of our lips would be praise to you in whatever season of life everyone's in. Lord, we would keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, that we would love, we would have faith and trust. God bless as we go from here. May we go into our community and into our world and into our daily lives, Lord, treating people with love above all else, loving you, and Heavenly Father, having hearts, Lord, that again, that love, that are light, that we be the light to our world. Bless your church as we go from here. And God, may we have thankful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.